Thank you. Thanks. Let us pray. Eternal and everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our being, gathered in this place today, we offer you prayers, we sing your praises, we reflect on your word to us through the scriptures and through words that have been prepared and pondered, and through the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts. And so we pray, O God, that in and through all these things we may receive from you your word anew. May it be the very same word we encounter in Christ Jesus. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. So I want to begin this morning with a story that I have shared with a few folks here. And it's a personal story, an experience that Marianne and I had last May, when we went and visited the city of Minneapolis for a conference. And for Marianne, it was her first time returning to the city in about 35 years. You see, when Marianne was a child, she made multiple trips to Minneapolis, including a prolonged stay over a number of months because she had been diagnosed with leukemia and underwent a successful bone marrow transplant there in 1981. And so going back to Minneapolis was an opportunity to reconnect. We managed to go here and there. We visited Ronald McDonald House, which back when Marianne had her transplant was one of only like two in existence. And, you know, back then it was really a house, and now it takes up a whole city block. And when we arrived at Ronald McDonald House, you know, security's kind of tight in these places. They try to honor the family's privacy of people who are staying there. So, you know, I think we rang the doorbell or the intercom, and the head of security came to the door and said, more or less, you know, what are you doing here? And then Marianne explained a little bit about her experience and who she was. And so he welcomed us in and toured around a little. And while he had left us for a moment and we were looking around in a particular room, word had obviously spread that Marianne was there visiting, because then these administrators came out and wanted to learn more about Marianne's story and what had happened, and wanted a picture and a quote for the newsletter to share with the families of the residents who were staying in Ronald McDonald House. And, you know, when all of this was going on, you know, we said, gee, this must happen a lot. And their response was, well, no, actually, it doesn't happen a lot that people come back. And so that was curious. And then from there, we went over to the University of Minnesota Hospital, where Marianne had had her transplant. And it serves now as administrative offices. They don't actually have hospital rooms there anymore. But we did go up to the floor where Marianne's room was located, because it's now the head office for pediatric oncology. And so we went there. Marianne, again, explained who she was. She had binders showing, you know, the information they had given her back, you know, 35 plus years ago about what to expect traveling to the University of Minnesota for a bone marrow transplant. And they were all excited to see this information and everything that she had, and to hear about her story and what had happened. And, you know, it was fascinating, because these were busy people. And you can tell when we walked in one office and then in another office, you know, they were first apprehensive, kind of like, who are you and what do you want? But then when they found out, they stopped everything they were doing and they wanted to hear Marianne's story and what was going on. And I said to them, I said, you know, I guess this doesn't happen a lot. And they said, you're right. They said, people don't come back. It was very, very interesting, that experience for me. And, you know, as I reflected on it, it was this text from the Gospel of Luke that came to mind for me, right? The story of the 10 lepers, and they shout out to Jesus for mercy, and then afterwards, after receiving mercy, only one of them comes back to give thanks. You see, this is a text that has a lot to say about what it means for us to give thanks, what it means to give thanks, and maybe for us to understand that, you know, gratitude isn't something we should always expect. It doesn't necessarily come easily to people for some reason, even if we're a people of faith. You see, in the text, the only one who comes back to give thanks, as Jim noted, is a Samaritan, a non-Jew, an outsider. Now, all of those 10 lepers, just to be clear, would have been considered outsiders. You see, because of their condition, they would have been considered ritually unclean according to the social conventions and the religious sensibilities of that day, 2,000 years ago. And when the text says they're lepers, it could have referred to any sort of skin condition. Leprosy comes to mind for us, but could have been psoriasis, eczema. We just don't know because everyone gets lumped into that category. But you see, because they were considered unclean, they were considered untouchable. You wouldn't go near them because if you were to touch them, then you would be considered ritually unclean. And if you were ritually unclean, that meant that you could not participate in normal everyday activities. Right? You wouldn't have a family. You wouldn't necessarily have a regular job. I mean, these 10, they're actually standing outside the village, right? Jesus is on his way, and they're outside because they're not allowed in. And they have to shout for mercy. Even when they approach Jesus, they have to keep their distance, the text says. Right? In many ways, if you are unclean, right, you're considered less than human. Right? And they're on the margins. And they're on the outside when Jesus comes. And when they shout for mercy, well, Jesus knew that, you know, according to Jewish law, there's actually this moral obligation to give alms to the poor. Right? So they're standing there, help us. But Jesus doesn't just reach into his pocket and throw them some coins. He actually shows them genuine mercy. Right? And Jesus knew that if they were going to be pronounced ritually clean, that they had to go show themselves to the priests. So that's what he says. He says, go show yourself to the priests. It's like going to the doctor to get your clean bill of health. So doodly, they all go off, except this Samaritan. You know, he doesn't have to get all the way to the temple to notice that he was already okay. And recognizing that something had happened that allowed him to be healed following this encounter with Jesus, he runs back to Jesus. He falls at Jesus' feet with this gratitude and this praise. Because you see, the thankful Samaritan didn't miss the grace in his life. The thankful Samaritan doesn't miss the grace. He sees it. You know, I've often wondered when I think of this story, what happened to those other 9? Right? Did they ever become well the way the thankful Samaritan was made well? And I wonder why they didn't come back and express their thanksgiving in the same way. And so, you know, I think I received a partial answer after Marianne and I made that trip to Minneapolis, and I listened to those individuals tell me that it was unusual for people to come back. You see, for many people who were there in the first place, right, they never asked to be there. Right? They went there, they got treatment, they got healing. But for many of them, being in that place was traumatic. It was life-altering. They were thrust into a position they were never asked to be in the first place. So why would you want to go back? Why? Right? Who can blame them for not wanting to go back? I mean, that's the thing about the 10 lepers in that story in Luke. They never asked to be put into the position of being ritually unclean. They never asked to be stricken by whatever disease it was they were dealing with. They never asked to be marginalized and left on the outskirts of a community. They never asked to be put into a position where they had to seek out alms and cost passers-by to throw them some coins. You see, I can fully understand at one level why those 9 out of 10 didn't want to go back, because they just didn't want to go back there. They were done with that and they wanted to put it behind them. And I think a lot of us can relate to that experience. I doubt there's a person in this sanctuary this morning who hasn't been in a situation or a circumstance or a place, right? That, you know, every one of us has been in a place we never asked to be in. You know, a situation where maybe you felt marginalized or maybe you felt threatened. And maybe you felt even less than human or certainly not normal. Time when maybe you felt as if, you know, you're on the outside looking in, because that's how those lepers felt, I'm sure, every day. And I think that like them, you know, when you get out of that situation or you got out of that situation, and hopefully I'm assuming you did, that when you got out, you didn't want to go back there. You just wanted to keep moving. You know, I found myself in such situations. And God knows there's people throughout this earth right now at this moment who are in such positions. I mean, I think of people this morning, maybe those men, women, and children who are holed up somewhere in northern Syria. You know, you hear the reports of what's going on. How many of those people, you know, asked to be put in that situation? You know, or you think of folks in Japan cleaning up after that big typhoon has hit. Some of them mourning the loss of loved ones. None of them asked for that. You know, and on it goes. I mean, we can come closer to home. Think of maybe ones who are estranged from their families, spending Thanksgiving alone. Or someone hospitalized going through medical treatments or so on. You see, people are constantly thrust into positions and circumstances they've never asked to be put in the first place. And you know when that happens? It's easy to become so out of touch and removed from others. You're in a place that can feel so alone that gratitude and praise, those things are hard to come by. I mean, because even God can seem out of touch and far away. And I think that's where the thankful Samaritan has something to teach us. Certainly about the power of gratitude and how it can transform and change us even when we find ourselves in those places. Because for this Samaritan, and this is what we have to remember, because he is a Samaritan, whether he goes to the temple and shows himself to the priest, and whether he's declared clean or not, he's still a Samaritan. And because he's still a Samaritan and not a Jew, he's still an outsider. Right? According to the social conventions and the religious sensibilities of his day, he's still on the outside. And remember, he didn't ask to be born a Samaritan. It was who he was. And that wasn't going to change, whether he was declared clean by the temple priests or not. But in his willingness to go back to Jesus, through his experience of gratitude, he no longer kept his distance. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. There was no more distance. In his gratitude, in his thanksgiving, and in his praise, he was drawn closer to the divine presence. Right? And rather than just some sort of social declaration that he was clean and normal, Jesus says to him, "Get up and go on your way, for your faith has made you well." Right? Not only does the Samaritan find healing, in his gratitude and his thanksgiving, he is the recipient of this deeper kind of wellness. A wellness in his soul. A wellness that revealed the value of a person who was more than the situation he had found himself in. You see, there's a sacred energy at work here in the story of the thankful Samaritan, because there's a gratitude that can lead to wellness and a wellness that allows for more gratitude. They feed off each other. And this energy is what frees the Samaritan, gives him the freedom to truly go on his way, for life to go on. It's the Spirit of God at work. You see, the Samaritan doesn't miss the grace. He doesn't miss it. He sees it. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "In all circumstances, give thanks." And you know what the next verse says? It says, "Do not extinguish the Spirit." Right? It's knowing that in any circumstance, even a place where you never asked to be, that a lack of gratitude extinguishes the Spirit. We can miss the grace. Right? We no longer find ourselves close to God or allow the Spirit of God to give us a different kind of life other than the one we think is passing us by. You see, one theologian says, we ought to give thanks for all fortune. If it's good, because it's good. If it's bad, because it works in us. It works in us patience and humility and hope for a different kind of kingdom and a different kind of world. Because gratitude can draw us closer to God and keep us moving in the direction of God and find a kind of transformation that may not change our circumstances, but can change how we deal with them. Because that gratitude can change us. We may not get everything we want, but we can experience that wellness of God as a free gift, right? We end up seeing the grace. We don't miss it. And besides, and I think this is important as a people of faith, there are always times when we will be called into places and into situations we may not have ever asked to be in. It's just a part of what it means to follow God's call and to be faithful. And I remember this, I was reminded of it, at this perspective. A colleague of mine was giving an address down at Emmanuel College, and he was reflecting on his over 40 years he had spent in ministry, and he was working with a lot of Canada's Indigenous peoples during those years of ministry. His name is Reverend John Thompson, and he told a story about early, it was his first settlement. He was out west working as a pastor on a reserve in Alberta. And it really was a situation he never asked to be in. When he was ordained, it was the place he had been dispatched to. And he arrived as an outsider. And he found himself immersed in a life that was far from anything he had ever known or experienced. And shortly after he arrived, there was a woman on the reserve who had fallen very ill. She had been to a number of doctors and specialists, tried a variety of treatments, medicines, nothing seemed to work. So Reverend Thompson recalled the day he was approached by this local medicine man who believed he could help this woman but needed Reverend Thompson's assistance because Reverend Thompson had a truck. And so Reverend Thompson could make the two-hour drive with this medicine man to go find the plant the medicine man believed would help this ill woman. And so they hopped into the truck, and they drove north along a provincial highway for a couple of hours. And finally, the medicine man said, "Pull over here." So they pull over. And they get out of the truck. And they walk into the bush, and the medicine man spots this plant that he wants to pick some of this medicinal plant. And while Reverend Thompson notices the kind of plant this medicine man's picking, and he sees it all over the place, he says, "Well, I'm going to pick more of it so we don't have to make this two-hour drive all the time," right? And he keeps picking it. So while he's picking this plant, he feels this hand on his shoulder, and he describes the moment he looks up and he sees the medicine man shaking his head, saying to him, "What is it with you guys always taking more than you need, right? You're not the only ones on this earth, you know." And then the elder, the medicine man, showed Reverend Thompson, this young Reverend Thompson, how to, instead of taking more, to give something back to the earth and to express gratitude, right? To not miss the grace. See, the medicine man left some tobacco. He said a prayer of thanksgiving to the Creator for providing what was needed in that moment, right? Like the medicine man didn't miss the grace. Not the way Reverend Thompson understood how he had been missing it. You see, John Thompson, reflecting on that experience, also understood that because of that, that moment changed him, changed how he understood his ministry, and a little more about his relationship to God. I mean, there he had been with this medicine man, neither of them really in a place they wanted to be in, but a place God had led them to help this woman on the reserve who was in poor health, you know, left in a circumstance that she didn't want to be in. You see, in the midst of it all, he was getting caught up on all of these needs, even his own needs, maybe what he needed to get out of this situation, and maybe even avoiding that situation or having to go back by taking more. Right? He was so caught up in all that, he was missing the grace in his life. The grace the medicine man reminded him of when he had stopped to give thanks to the Creator. Right? John said he had been reminded through that act of thanksgiving that God was with them. He had seemed to have forgotten that, right? That God was providing for them and working through them to help care for that woman, perhaps in ways they had never considered, or he had never considered. And John knew that through that experience, he was growing spiritually, he was growing closer to God, and it was through a simple act of gratitude that connected him with the larger reality of the divine presence. They were there for the sake of another's wellness, and through it he found his own wellness. You see, gratitude changes the world because it changes lives, changes us, draws us closer to that same spirit of grace that was at work in Jesus, the kind of grace that seeks wellness for all peoples, you know, no matter who they are or where they are. Right? This was the grace the thankful Samaritan came to know in his life. And my prayer is that we will continue to know that grace and not miss it as well. Thanks be to God.